Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans, for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton. Co-host Hollywood is out of the studio today, but we both are veterans of the United States Marine Corps. Welcome to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. We have an outstanding show for you today, but first we want to thank some of our sponsors that make this show possible. We'd like to thank the battleship, USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Patriot Roofing, and our good friends over at Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and our latest sponsor, Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline. And I'd like to thank all of our sponsors and our great listeners. We could not do this without you, so please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them, so join the discussion at 343-0106. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app or your smartphone at 106.5 FM. We have a packed show for you tonight, so check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Later on SBN, of course, we'll have my tirade on life on the animal farm. You don't want to miss this. But first, it is a privilege to be joined on SBN today by none other than Mr. Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council. Lou, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt, and thank you for your fine services that you still performed and all the service that you did in the Army.
Well, Tom, thank you, and it's good to be on with you and Cal. And I tell you what, Cal is AOL.
He's AOL, yeah. Absolutely, without leave. He's playing Hollywood at the theater in Gulfport.
Yeah, I tell you what, he's doing good stuff.
But he's doing an awesome job.
I tell you, we have a lot of stuff going on in the veterans community here in South Alabama, and stuff that we're really proud of. All the veterans should be and should be involved. A lot of stuff going on. I know you were absent without leave when we had the ribbon cutting out at the VA.
Right,
I was VA clinic. That was really great. Back on the 18th of March when we had that on Demetropolis Road. And I tell you what, that was a beautiful clinic. I took the tour, and the ceremony was really, really nice. And it must have been 200 or 300 people there, a lot of veterans. But it was outstanding. And that's going to be a great addition to our community, for our veterans.
Lou?
And it's only been 25 years in coming.
That's all it took, 25 years. But listen, do you know of anything or new departments that they're bringing that we may not have seen before?
Yeah, I tell you what, the docs that they have are expanding to over 15 doctors now. The staff is increasing. They got more room. They're going to have a MRI capability, and a lot more there. You really got to go out there and take a look at the place. And if there's any veterans that aren't and have not signed up into VA, they need to go out and and look. The guys and gals out there are doing a super job.
They're doing an awesome job. But I think they only had about 25,000 square feet down at the old Providence Hospital where the clinic was on Spring Hill, and I think they have like 60,000 here.
Yes.
So
yes,
I figured they were going to initiate some new services there for our vets that we may not have had here at the Mobile Clinic that we had to go to Biloxi or Pensacola to get.
Yeah, the new some increase in audiology, increase in vision and different things like that. So I think you're going to see a lot more services there, and it's going to be a lot easier to get in and out. Big parking lot. They're going to have golf carts that run around the parking lot, pick up the vets, take them right to the front door, and they're asking for volunteers if veterans want to go out and volunteer to help do that.
That'd be awesome. I know we've got some guys that I'm sure that are out there that are bored sitting around a house that would like to go out there and maybe, be of help to some of the other veterans.
Yeah, they've even given a veterans support office out there to help with the DAV and everything, to be able to organize the volunteers.
Right.
So it's going to be, I think you're going to see, they started seeing patients on the 25th, and I think, the activity is building as they get more and more in there. So I think it's awesome.
I think it's going to be an awesome event. We had Judge Blunt on with us here the other day. He does the drug court and the vets court. And one of the things that he talked about was the fact that if he had a vet that came through the jail over there for some minor offense or what have you, that one of the first things that they did once he got them into his court process was make sure that they got into the VA. So, that just tells me that if you're a vet, whether you have injuries, whether you have service injuries or anything of that nature, but as long as you're a vet, you need to get to the vet and get placed down there and get signed up. Get in the system.
Yes, get in the system, and you go in once a year just to make sure your records stay active and you're still active. If something happens, you're registered, you can get help from the VA. And with our uncertain medical capabilities that we have in the United States right now, if you're a veteran, you want to make sure that you have that as a as an alternative.
Sure, you need that for
your main.
You need that for a backup, you know.
You're exactly right. Exactly.
But the other thing is, I think that when I went through and took my physical and all there, I've never had a physical anywhere from any doctor in all of my years that was as thorough as what they gave me over there. They even looked for melanoma, the cancer deal, little moles.
Right.
They looked on my shoulders, on my back, around on my top of my ears, and they were looking for things of that nature. And I've never had a physical that thorough, even going into service and coming out of service, that they gave over there. And then they want you to come back every year and get checked out again. But I like to go because I get my flu shots. And, and I get my pneumonia shots and all that stuff over there. There's a vet, and you're in the system.
Yeah.
That's free.
It's free.
Right.
Exactly. So if your insurance is not quite good enough to cover all that stuff, you need to go out there and check them out. And it's a good time to go out and look over the facility at the same time. Great people, great thing. But a lot more going on. I'll tell you what, Booth has the new recruit oath of enlistment going on over at the battleship.
Well, that's going to be that's an awesome project, and let's take this little break here, And when we get back, we'll delve into that and bring that forth to our listening audience out there and all the veterans that may be listening. As soon as we can get, as always, you can visit Scuttlebutt Network for more information. And on the other side of the break, more with Colonel Lou Lartigue, president of the South Alabama Veterans Council, when we return on the Scuttlebutt Network. I'll tell you, we have so much information for you tonight on what's going on. It's a pleasure to have Lou on board. Be right back.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106. And you can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. Check us out on Facebook. You can also follow Cal on Twitter at @CAL_SBN. And before we jump back into the discussion with Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council, I want to let our listeners know that SBN is going on the road again. This time we will be broadcasting live from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama. That is going to be unbelievable. That will be next Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. We will follow the legend himself, Mr. Sean Sullivan, and Midday Mobile. So come out and join us and meet the crew of the Fight or Die rowing team. And they have returned and are back in the States. They're picking up their boat now in Miami and bringing it back to the Mobile area here. And then they will move it out to Denver, I think, and get it ready for the next cruise. But you can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, We'll talk to Mr. Lou Lartigue now. Lou, are you ready, big guy?
Hey, buddy. I tell you what, that Fight or Die crew, I followed them. I tracked them all the way from from Africa, the Azores, into the Caribbean, and they just done a wonderful job. And they're going to carry that legacy on from year to year, and
right. It
started up a great opportunity. And we had them in to the South Alabama Veterans Council meeting and hope to get them back in like you to
right.
talk some more
right.
about their efforts. They're doing a lot for PTSD research with the University of Arizona hospital out there and everything. So it's a very good cause.
Well, that's awesome to see what they've done. And you know, I saw those guys personally and had lunch with them a couple of times. And every one of them was in tip-top shape. They said they were in better shape now, you know, after all the workouts that they did than what they did while they were in service. You know,
they had some big arms.
Oh, yeah. Big old arms.
Can you imagine they had like 1,700 meals aboard and
rowing
all of their meals
the
for the whole time and water production facilities.
I know. But you know
gosh.
What? One of the guys, I think might have been Brian Knight, the Army retired major here from Mobile, I think he lost 32 pounds. Most of the other guys lost like 24, 28 pounds, and it's unbelievable. They come back all bearded up and everything, but they were slim and trim and had plenty of suntan. But let's go forward with this other things that are occurring here in the Mobile area.
Yeah, I tell you, we got a couple quick things coming up. Dr. Booth has the recruit oath of enlistment project over there at the battleship Alabama on the 20th of April, where he And Pat Downing is going to issue the oath of office to approximately 100 new recruits from all the different services.
Unbelievable.
And that's going to be at 10 o'clock in the aircraft pavilion. So,
what date?
If you never have been to one of those things, I think this is his second or third event. It's really, really encouraging. And
now,
really,
what date and what time?
Huh?
What date and what time?
Oh, it's the 20th of April at 10 o'clock.
All right.
That's 1,000 hours for all us military
guys. Hey, all the military guys, okay. for the rest of them, it's 10 o'clock. I've been out so dang long, I don't use that anymore.
Well, matter of fact, Barry put in his announcement, is it's 10 a.m. or 1,000 hours.
Right.
But anyway, also, Eddie Irby is getting ready to, on the 17th of April, having a thing at the Oak Lawn Cemetery out there where they're going to dedicate their memorial, their marker out there for the cemetery. Eddie and his crew, Fran Barber and Bill Atkinson and crew, have been working on that along with, you know, South Alabama, the Chief Petty Officers Association, Channel 10, and just a numerous other people to clean that Oak Lawn Cemetery up out there. And they have done just a wonderful job. Found over 700 veterans buried there.
Oh, my Lord.
Mm-hmm. And they cleaned off the graves and put a flag on every grave.
Do they know how far back those vets go, Lou? Have you heard any figures?
Yes, there are some that go back to the early 1900s, World War One vets.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's... Tuskegee Airmen. It's just a whole bunch of veterans, and this is a huge place. They hadn't got to the end of it yet.
Right. Well, that's what I was wondering.
They're
still
working on it.
I didn't think they had actually got to all the way to the back of the cemetery. They're about two thirds of the way there, though.
They have really worked hard. They put up six flags poles out there. Coerced the city into helping out, put sidewalks in, have had the power company come out and cut the trees. And it really turned it into a nice place, and it's been recognized as a national cemetery.
That's awesome.
Say a national cemetery as a historical
cemetery.
Not a military national.
Well,
historical cemetery.
By doing that, will they get some help in trying to keep that cemetery clean from now on?
They're trying. The rights and the ownership and everything is kind of unclear between the city and how it started and where the perpetual care comes in is still not really clear. And so they, depending on volunteers to go out there and help keep it up, and families, of course.
Right.
I think
right.
Now that they've shown the community that it is a place that is should be honored and kept clean,
right,
that more people will get involved with that and look at it that way. So I tell you what, the 92nd Infantry Association.
He's done an awesome job.
Done a great job. Yep. I'm sure he's going to be coming in and hollering at you.
Oh, yeah.
Here in the next day or two.
Yeah, we'll be glad to give him some time and remind people about that 17th day. But I understand that Councilman John Williams, which is a retired Army major, will be the guest speaker at that event.
Be the guest speaker. And they're going to have the American Legion Post 250 chaplain and American Legion 164 out of Citronelle doing the honors.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's going to be a nice, nice ceremony. So I encourage all the vets to go out there and take a look.
Well,
be part of it.
And on behalf of all the other veterans in this area, we appreciate what the South Alabama Veterans Council has done with Eddie. And that was really his source of contacts for all of the people that he finally got involved in trying to recognize the cemetery and find it and find the graves and all. And then they found some, I understand, that had been run over by some tractors where there's continued to bury people out there. And they just decimated a lot of the the tombstones and the graves and all. And, hey, it was brought to the attention and jerked a knot in some people and got that squared away.
Yeah, from the 1800s, I guess the three big cemeteries in Mobile was Oaklawn Catholic Cemetery and Magnolia.
Right.
And those were the cemeteries that you got buried in in the day.
That's the only ones that we ever heard of.
So, but yeah, he's doing a great job with that. And he's to be thanked.
Well, that and all the fine people that has continued to work with him on it. But I just think that if there's got some investigation going forward, that if they find out who has been receiving and continued to receive the money for the people that's buried out there, I ought to get a little time down in the slammer for not following through with the detail of keeping the perpetual care going forward and let that thing get out of hand. I mean, there were trees growing in there, not just grass.
It was. And then, gravestones being overturned by trees that had grown into gravestones. And it was just deplorable. And that's it's a constant there's thousands of burial plots out there.
So there's a lot of the Mobile County history in there. But we're going to take a little break here again. And if you want some additional information, you can go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And on the other side of this break, we'll come back with Brother Lou Lottie.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Tom Claxton, co-host Hollywood is out of the studio today. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the vital issue facing our veterans today. Our number is 251-343-0106, and appreciate you calling us when we're taking our calls to join in the discussion. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow Cal on Twitter at Cal_SBN. And we want to thank the folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, where we'll be next Wednesday. Our sea lawyer, Colin Kimmerly, and all the folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly. Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And our latest sponsor, Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline. We are privileged to be joined again by Brother Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council. Brother Lou.
Yes.
All right, we've got a lot of territory to cover. Let's go.
Okay. Real big one. We're getting ready to start off tomorrow with the first meeting of the Deep Dive program here in Mobile, and it's to cover suicide prevention, understanding of suicide, veteran suicide, and suicide prevention. And, we had 16 million World War II veterans out there, and we only got 497,000 left, and we're losing 348 a day.
Unbelievable.
And those are figures out of the press register a couple weeks ago.
Right,
but,
I saw that.
We're losing some of them to suicide, some that are recognized as suicide, some that are not. In the same way with our Korean War, Vietnam veterans, and our Desert Storm, Desert Shield veterans. We're losing 22 a day. And so there's a nationwide study going on and it's being localized. In other words, it's not being conducted by any big medical organization or the federal government or anything.
Right.
It's really community action teams in geographic areas. And
that's controlled by local veterans and veterans organizations.
Exactly. And the universities, and it, some of it's being funded through pharmaceutical, is paying for some of the funding for this and for grants through universities that are helping to provide the clinical research and stuff that's associated with suicide and suicide prevention. And so it kicked off, and the John Kilpatrick and his organization, the Veterans Resource Recovery Organization, that's recently started up, is spearheading this, and I'm sure he'll be coming on to talk about this as we get underway.
Right,
but
right.
Our first meeting is tomorrow at the University of South Alabama, and it's really to get started, to put together our community action team, and to start looking at the local infrastructure, the local
right.
statistics and everything.
Well, that's what we're after, is what is happening with our local vets, and how do we stand with the averages figures that they're talking about, 22 a day. Now, that's a national figure.
Oh, it is.
You know,
it
not,
is, and
that's
it's
not
the really
Mobile area.
22 a day is really disturbing, and it's got nationwide attention.
Sure it has.
And it's something that needs to be looked at, but it needs to be looked at, like you said, on a local basis,
right.
And this is what's being done. And the results of this, it's going to be a four-year effort.
That's awesome.
We're right. in the first year of it right now, and the results of the overall study will be to guide and help develop the local and national program to prevent and reduce the self-harm and suicide among our veterans. So it's a great program, and as we get into it, and as Tom Kilpatrick and his crew, Amanda Hayes and that crew gets to running it, we'll come back to you from time to time.
Sure,
and
sure.
Encourage
Tom
Kilpatrick to come back and tell us what they're seeing and what they're looking at.
Yeah, we'd be interested in seeing that, how that progresses along. I'll have a chance to talk monthly or in every week or so, probably here, with Colonel Jerry Steele, retired Marine colonel, that's on their staff there and on their board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's neat to see that they've really loaded that board up with some real strong individuals from this area.
Yes, and we got folks from the University of South Alabama and the University of Alabama that
right.
are involved, and got a research assistant going after his PhD is working closely with Kilpatrick and his crew to help guide this thing through the process of meetings and trying to get into the nuts and the bolts of all of it. So I think it's going to be a long adventure, but it's going to be, I think, the payoff. We'll see some payoff both
right.
initially
think,
and in the
right.
long run.
I think we're going to see some outstanding results from this adventure here.
Yeah. So we'll give you some feedback, and I'm sure John will we'll come in and talk to you about some of the stuff that they're doing and everything. And I'll see him tomorrow and tell him I mentioned it to you
sure,
and,
sure.
And the rest of the vets.
We've been talking about it and get in touch with me.
Yes.
You've got
yes.
my contacts.
And I tell you what, there's a lot coming up. This is a busy month for veterans. I tell you, this month and next month we hit the ground running back in the fall to plan our big Armed Forces Day and Blue Star Salute out at the battleship on the 18th of May, and we're hoping to have a lot of good activities out there. We start off in the morning at 7 o'clock with a 5K run. 6:30 we're going to have a Fallen Hero Salute, and each one of the runners that run in this 5K run for one of the Alabama fallen soldiers.
Let me ask
and
you a question.
We have a pair of boots for each one of them
awesome.
To set up, and
yep.
the bib that they wear, the runners wear, have a name on it.
There's somebody's asked me about this on a couple of occasions now. Do we know how many fallen vets that we have that's been killed in service since the Desert Storm and all that started, I guess you could say, 2001.
We do, and that's what the Blue Star Salute is all about. And, you know, you catch me at, you know, I've had a an old veteran's mind blank here.
That's all right. You'll think about it after a while when you find the right hard drive.
But we have all of their pictures of the soldiers on a wall that we set up that day. And so the runners can come up and look and see who they're running for.
Awesome.
And plus we have the Silver Wings parachute team coming in Fort Benning, Georgia, doing a halo jump. Man. And bringing in the flag, which the 9th and 10th Buffalo Soldiers will bring in on horseback for our colors presentation. And we have the big salute there. And then we're going to have, hopefully, some different services that have set up, so their equipment and stuff there to show the public. We'll have vendors and all the veteran service organizations have tents and everything set up of what they're doing. So it's just a good day for veterans to come out to the battleship and enjoy thing. And it's being co-sponsored by the battleship, the City of Alabama, and South Alabama Veterans Council. And there'll be booths there and all kind of stuff going on.
All right. We've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. If you need to move around and get the most important things that are going on.
Okay. We're moving on for Memorial Day, of course, on the May in May, and we have a big event down Memorial Day celebration down at the Virginia Street Cemetery at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, that's awesome.
And
raise the flag
at the National Cemetery there.
Right.
And Cy Lichtenfeld will be our guest speaker.
Awesome.
And who is a World War II POW. And many people have heard and talked to Cy.
He's
great
been on
motivational
the show.
Speaker.
He's been on the show here several times. Awesome gentleman.
And then as soon as that's over, we break right quick and head over to the Arlington South at Spanish Fort at the Veterans Cemetery over there at 11 o'clock. And Art Oaken and his crew over there have set up a ceremony there to pay tribute to all of the fallen veterans that are buried there, which are over 1,600 now in the Spanish Fort Cemetery.
Mm-mm-mm.
And the Veterans Cemetery Foundation are doing a great job at helping out the state with that facility, and it's really beautiful. And I encourage all the veterans who does not have their final plans in place to go over there and visit. It's the only cemetery, veteran cemetery, that you can pre-register.
Right, yes.
And so I encourage, I'm registered there, both my wife and I.
Right.
And I encourage everyone to look at it. It's a beautiful place and one that we can all be proud of. The state's done a great job, and it too was 25 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Bill Callender and that bunch started pressuring to get a cemetery expanded when they closed our cemetery down at Virginia Street when it filled up back in 93.
All right.
And we started pushing to open another. It's finally here. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it took a lot of people and a lot of time and a lot of strings pulled to make all that work. But all right, we're gonna have to take this break, and we'll get to Tirade and all. It says for more information, you can always check out the Stack at Scuttlebutt Network. And on the other side of the break, Tom's Tirade, mine that is, on life on the animal farm and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only three win the Green Beret. Trained to live.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Among other things to which the Obama administration has given rise, outside of my blood pressure, is a seemingly greater appreciation for the classics. Oh, yes, the classics. And I'm not talking about Southern rock.
Get back, my bullet.
Although there has certainly been an outcry for that. No, the classics to which I am referring are the books which, if you were like me, were forced to read at some point during our time in the little red schoolhouse. Some of you old codgers were there. The late Ayn Rand, the Russian-born American novelist, has once again become vogue, with her novels flying off the shelves and crowds flocking to big-screen adaptions of her books. And for those of you in the Ninth Ward, they are not movies about damn vampires. Well, unless you consider the blood-sucking bureaucrats in the government. No, Rand was amongst a group of authors that possessed an extraordinary ability to peer into the future existence for those that at the time were living in freedom. It could be because some, like Rand, had been forced to flee from the oppression of the burgeoning communist state in the Soviet Union. Others like George Orwell, whose novel 1984 is referenced daily by right-wingers and libertarians in the aftermath of the NSA domestic spying scandal, simply elaborated on the progressive culture which he found at work in his native England during the 30s and 40s. 1984's recent revival in the popular culture is due largely to its prescient description of an omniscient, oppressive, collectivist government commonly known as Big Brother, which many at the time attributed to the communists in the Soviet Union. Of course, today it is more commonly associated with the Obama administration than Putnam's Kremlin.
Oh, the times, they are changing.
Orwell's literary companion to 1984 is his allegorical novella, Animal Farm, which he wrote as a commentary on the Soviet Union, that he believed had become a brutal dictatorship, built upon a cult of personality enforced by a ring of terror. Wait, cult of personality? Ring of terror? You sure old Georgie wasn't writing about Stalin and Uncle Joe, and not Obama and Uncle Joe? I'm just saying. Anyway, for those of you who slept through the discussion on Animal Farm during ninth grade English class, the book tells a tale of a group of farm animals that revolt against the man, ousting the farmer and renaming the farm Animal Farm. They immediately adopt the seven commandments of animalism, the most important of which is, all animals are equal. We've heard that before. In the course of the story, a group of pigs, led by a porker named Napoleon, come to rule over the other animals on the farm, and the seven commandments were reduced to a single self-serving phrase, all animals are equal. But some animals are more equal than others. As the novel closes, the pigs have allied themselves with their former human enemies, and the other animals on the farm, now enslaved as before, can no longer distinguish between the two. Now, don't get me wrong. You all know that I love me some pig for dinner, our lunch, our afternoon snacks.
The original pork-eating crusader.
But that is all about having the pig on the table, not at the table, as most government bureaucrats prefer to feed at the taxpayer trough without competition. Meanwhile, back to this thing about some pigs are more equal than others. In the midst of all of this comes a decision from the Pentagon. The announcement from Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel stated that, get this now, guys, quote, homosexual marriage leave, what, is effective immediately and allows for up to 10 days of extra leave for gay and lesbian service members assigned more than 100 miles from a state where some sex marriages are legal. The policy is supposed to allow these service members the extra time in order to be able to travel to a state where they can be married. The extra days will not count against their standard 30 days of leave. Of course, the dictum from the dipshit drew criticism from those who believe that we are a nation of laws and not a cult of personality. Senator James Inhofe, ranking Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee, suggested that Obama had again overstepped his legal authority in granting the extra days, citing the fact that military leave is granted by statute, and while there are currently provisions for adoptions, childbirth, and emergencies, there is no special provision for marriage, whether it's Dick and Jane or Dick and, well, Dick. He further warned, quote, "The administration is eroding our military's historical apolitical stance by using it as their activism arm for their liberal social agenda." Amen. As we mentioned before on SBN, when the DOD dictated that it would extend benefits to same-sex couples, that simply signed a statement saying they were really in love with each other. This new policy is not only unwise, it is unconstitutional. The Constitution provides for equal protection for all under the law. All animals are equal, so to speak. And this has served as the foundation for our liberty and freedom for over 200 years. Hegel's dictum turns that protection squarely on its ear, creating a special class of citizens with special benefits within the nation's military. Some animals are more equal. Don't get me wrong, if any couple, gay or straight, wants to get married, they can, and do, use their regular leave time in order to do it, whether they march down to the Justice of Peace or head home for a big party. And even if such a measure was necessary, just how does it take 10 damn days to get married? That's enough time for not only the wedding and the reception, but also the honeymoon and the hangover.
Don't be afraid to ride the lightning.
Stop! Stop! In the face! In the face! No!
The policy should be challenged immediately by Inhofe and the rest of the gang in Congress because it is yet another attempt by the administration to ram an unpopular policy down the throat of our republic in order to implant its tentacles into society before we have time to say enough. And that is just what I've had. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
We want to remind you that the Scuttlebutt will be broadcasting live from the battleship USS Alabama next Wednesday at a special time, 1 p.m. And that brings us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Radio Program. I hope you guys had a blast. I did. Have a good one. Hoorah.